Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
Hey guys, just a quick reminder, you are listening to the Elite Man Podcast. Throughout this episode, the word Giving Shy Guys Game Podcast may be referenced or referred to several times. These were just some of our earlier episodes, and I just wanted to remind you, you are still listening to the Elite Man Podcast. Okay guys, enjoy the show.
On today's episode, episode number 12, entitled Hypnotizing Your Life, we chat with Dr. Andrew Dobson.
Andrew, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks very much, Justin. It's great to be speaking with you today.
Can you tell our listeners a little about your background and how you got started in being a hypnotherapist?
Well, years ago, like a lot of people, I did the great search to find myself, which for a New Zealander means traveling overseas. And while I was in England in a place called Glastonbury, participating in lots of alternative and new age therapies, one that really struck me was hypnosis and guided imagery. And after my tour of the overseas experience, I came back to New Zealand and studied and became a hypnotherapist. After a relatively successful practice of a couple of years, psychologists would roll their eyes at me when I would tell them how the brain worked and how hypnosis worked. And they informed me that I really didn't have a clue what I was talking about. So I thought, I will go to university, become a psychologist, and then I'll be able to use all the big words that they use to really essentially put me down. And within 3 weeks of studying psychology at university, I realized that hypnosis, as I was taught it, was pseudoscience. And while still a very powerful therapy modality, it isn't the cure-all and be-all that I originally thought it was when I started.
Andrew, what do you have your doctorate in? Is it psychology?
It's in psychology, yeah.
Okay. And also, why do you think hypnosis is such a pseudoscience? And why do you think a lot of these doctors and a lot of your colleagues didn't necessarily take you serious?
Well, very good reasons. When we learned hypnosis, we were taught things like we only use 10% of our brain, that the subconscious mind records everything perfectly. Back in my day, it was like a video recorder, and we could recall those memories in an altered state. And this simply isn't true. Not only is it not true, back in 1937, a chap called Bartlett discovered how memories work, and they're incredibly fragile, fragmented, and every time we recall and remember something, they're changed and modified based on our perceptions and our beliefs at the time. So little things like that, the 10%, we only use 10% of our brain. It's an expression that probably your listeners have heard before, and it actually came about in the 1940s. A reporter asked a psychic what made them so special. They thought about it for a while, and they said, well, I think we only use about 10% of our brain, and I use more. And this has been repeated so often, it became truth amongst New Age people who like to promote the idea that your brain, your subconscious, your ability to create your reality is infinite. When anyone who's had a stroke, where one blood vessel that perhaps makes up a thousandth of a percent of the brain can destroy your cognitive functioning, or even looking at an MRI, we're well aware that we use all of our brain all of the time. So these little myths used to explain the power of hypnosis and the power of the therapist in order to sometimes enhance their reputation. Sometimes it's just out of ignorance of the fact.
Andrew, do you know or can you recall any scientific studies or research that kind of validates the effectiveness of hypnosis, or just like any anecdotal evidence just through like your own practice that you can kind of talk about that kind of proves its effectiveness anyways?
Well, anecdotal evidence is everywhere. Every hypnotherapist has anecdotal evidence of the success of their therapies. Myself, you know, we would help people get off prescription medication for depression. From a scientific perspective, there are thousands of studies that show the effectiveness of hypnosis for simple things: stop smoking, motivation, confidence, the ability to de-stress and relax under hypnosis is incredibly well documented. It does work, and it's scientifically validated to work in so many the realms of beliefs and behaviors that I am comfortable and confident using it as a therapy modality, despite what I may have said previously about some people's overemphasis of the effectiveness of hypnosis.
We mentioned briefly about some of the restrictions that hypnosis does have. So what kind of things is it impossible or does it not really, or is it not effective for?
Hypnosis, like any psychological form of counseling, works incredibly well with your cognitive functioning. So your ability to think, process thoughts, emotions, which lead to behaviors. The circle is the way you think creates your mental state. Your mental state creates the way you automatically react in a certain situation. What hypnosis won't do is make your eyes blue or your hair grow, or I've seen some people selling sessions to have you grow taller and develop a super physique. And none of this is going to happen. The physique maybe if you go to the gym. What hypnosis would do is help motivate you to go to the gym, give you a mental mind to muscle connection to help enhance the effectiveness of your workout, push your psychological barriers to exerting yourself beyond what you're normally capable of, but it's not going to physiologically increase the speed at which you develop your muscle mass, for example.
That's actually funny that you mentioned the grow taller thing. This is back probably at least 10 years ago when I was in grade school. I actually saw something online about a grow taller hypnosis like CD program, and long story short, I ended up buying it and tried it out for maybe 3 or 4 weeks and didn't work at all, to say the least. And that's kind of when I did like a more research into it too, the whole hypnosis thing, kind of got myself familiar with it, some of the limitations with it and what it can and cannot do. And it actually did help me out a few years later on. And I mentioned this before we went on, Andrew, time when I had a lot of anxiety, I was going through a lot of depression, and actually one of your CDs about releasing depression really helped me out a lot and helped me overcome my depression, among a few other things that I was doing at the time. But that's why I know hypnosis is so effective, is because it actually worked firsthand on me and helped relieving my anxiety and my depression. Like I said, I just wanted to thank you for that as well, because it was very helpful for me. And that's why I know it's so effective for other people too.
You're welcome. That's why I got into the field.
Andrew, do you think hypnosis would be effective for things like breast enlargement or penis enlargement or something like that? I've heard some stuff about that. I don't know if that's on your site or not or others, but is it possible at all for something like that?
Oddly enough, yes, breast enlargement with hypnosis does work.
Interesting.
Now, the caveat to that is we don't know how or why. And so several of the breast enlargement programs that you get will give an assumption or a guess as to why it works. But the reality is we don't know. It seems to work very well for breast enlargement. For the penis enlargement, not so much. I do have a session for penis enlargement. It concentrates on making you happier with your size and having less anxiety and worry. It also does do some exercises to stimulate, if possible, the hormone secretion that you had as a teenager. But the jelking exercises that I sell along with the penis enlargement session, for example, actually do work. So
interesting.
If any of your listeners are interested in increasing the size of their penis, jelking exercises is something to Google.
That's interesting that it is in, like, we don't know the mechanism behind it, but that it is effective for something like breast enlargement in women. Like, say, not as effective for like growing hair or something like that.
It is odd. I'm not so much a new age practitioner of hypnotherapy and psychology and more of a psychological one. We do like to base our therapy, all my sessions are based on scientific research. So if there's a study that shows that hypnosis works for some particular issue, I'll make the session for that. If there isn't, then I'll do a best guess estimate of whether or not it's possible. And if it is, I'll make a session. If it isn't, I won't. And I'll get feedback from customers. And if they work, I keep them up there. If they don't, I remove them from the website.
It's interesting to note like that it works for some stuff and other things it just has completely no effect on. And at the same time, we can't explain like a lot of the mechanisms behind why it works. But then again, if you think about it, there's so much about like the brain and even the body that we just have no idea. I mean, imagine in like 50 years or 100 years from now, I'm sure we'll know so much more. But just like right now, at this point in time, we just can't explain a lot of the processes that go on. Also, how do you come up with your research for something that you want to like test out and make a CD for or a program for? Do you just kind of scroll around the internet and find different studies that validate like different things in hypnosis, or is it something else?
When I first started, I did the usual. I based it on what most of my customers and clients came into for real life therapy. And then customers would request certain sessions, and certain life experiences would give me the emphasis or the motivation to create a session. I used to, for example, have a parrot, an African grey, when I lived in America. And I'm a relatively unemotional person. I'm detached from my emotions to a certain extent. But I lost my parrot. And when I lost it, I went through some massive grief. And through that personal experience, having a lower emotional threshold than the normal person, the grief of losing a pet, oddly enough, triggered a bit of a bad time for a week or so before I dealt with it. And that made me research grief. And then I came up with the Getting Over the Grief hypnotherapy session. So it's a combination of past experience, customer requests, and personal life experience. As I grow and develop as a human, I discover methods of manipulating my own unconscious desires, processes, my beliefs, and then I put them together in a session and pop it up on the website.
Interesting. Do you feel like hypnosis CDs are just as effective as, say, a hypnotist in like your room or in his office hypnotizing you hands-on?
Yes and no. Sure, it depends on the quality of the hypnotherapist in the first place and the rapport that you establish. Hypnosis is a cooperative effort. The hypnotist never actually hypnotizes you. He guides you into the hypnotic state and then conducts therapy. So a certain amount of rapport is required to establish that therapeutical relationship. You can't get that on a cassette or an MP3 or a CD, but at the same time, those people who are making money online tend to have the qualities that are needed to establish rapport through the communication via their website with articles, stories, YouTubes, videos, those sorts of things. So in a nutshell, for the simple things, if you are massively depressed, no, go and see a real therapist. If you're suffering from a slight sense of depression or anxiety approaching woman, for example, then a CD or a MP3 that you download from the internet can do wonders for you.
Great. Can you actually walk us through maybe how hypnosis actually works on the mind? Like what's going on in someone's mind as they're being hypnotized and what they would expect, like if someone hasn't been hypnotized before, what that feeling might be?
Yes, I can explain the situation. Psychologists and scientific research are still undecided as to the mechanisms of how hypnosis works. I have my own theory, which I can go into a little bit later, but the experience is similar for everybody. And in actual fact, we all hypnotize ourselves or go into what we term the hypnotic state several times a day. Examples are when you're reading a book and you turn the page and you've forgotten what you've just read, you're in an altered state of consciousness. If you've ever driven somewhere and arrived home and thought, shit, I forgot to get the milk at the 7-Eleven, you're in a hypnotic trance as you are driving along. So what a therapist will do is guide you to that state, that mental state of relaxation, of allowing your mind to just wander. You're daydreaming is enhanced to a certain extent. Along with that, you physically relax. And then through the countdown or deepening procedure, they'll increase that sense of relaxation to get you into what's termed the hypnotic trance. And in that state, your perception of reality is able to be influenced with suggestion. Your level of focus and concentration is increased, and your conscious mind can flitter off and do whatever it wishes. When you're being hypnotized, you can think about your shopping list, you can listen to the session and the suggestions, or you can pop off into your own little fantasy world. It really doesn't matter. Once you've gotten into that state, the hypnotherapist is talking to your unconscious mind, and we're not particularly bothered with what your conscious mind is doing at the time.
Interesting. Andrew, what is hypnotism most effective for? I know we mentioned a few things earlier about behavioral modification. Any other specific things like stress relief, or say, I know this things like immune system boosting or like rapid healing or things like that. Can you think of any other ones that are like really effective, or maybe even things for like confidence that like our shy guy listeners might be able to use like right away?
Right. Yeah, sure. In particular, for the shy guy listeners, hypnosis, it's a subconscious modality. So let me start by explaining a little bit about how your subconscious mind works. Your subconscious mind is, well, for all intents and purposes, it does and does not exist. But the metaphors that we use to explain it, is that part of you that's responsible for anything that's automatic, any belief that you have, any behavior that you have, any event that is triggered as a response without you having to think too much about it. Now, the classic example they give is when you first learn to drive, you would be worried, not so much in America, they tend to have automatics, but in the rest of the world, we have a lot of manual shifting gears with the clutch. So all of your conscious effort is put into changing the gears without wrecking the engine. You can't look at the side of the road. You have to focus on where you're driving. Your whole awareness is concentrated on that. As you learn that skill, it becomes unconscious. Your subconscious mind takes over that role, and you can talk with your friends, look at the talent on the street, sing along with the radio as you drive, because driving becomes second nature. So that's the role of your subconscious. It also does that with your beliefs and your behaviors and your attitude. Now, in particular with shy guys, really shyness is just a label that we give to a whole bunch of feelings we experience when we think about or engage in an unfamiliar activity with unfamiliar people. For example, we have that feeling of a lack of confidence in our ability to achieve something, whether it be talking to somebody, let's say a hot woman, or doing a high jump. And then we get a sense of anxiety, which creates worry and a sense of awkwardness. And our mental processes go berserk. It creates the increased mental state of anxiety and worry. And then that triggers the subconscious reaction of how we behave, or in this particular case, how we feel in relationship to that particular experience. So using hypnosis, you can communicate to your unconscious mind how you would rather be. In much the same way as people use affirmations, they focus on their intention of desired behavior or attitude. Hypnosis does that much accelerated level of effectiveness.
Right. Andrew, can you talk about binaural beats? This is an interesting topic as well, and it kind of goes along with a lot of this hypnosis CDs out there. Can you explain that?
Yeah. Binaural beats are two sounds of different tones that are given in the left and right speaker or channels when you're listening on headphones. And what they've found is that the difference in those two tones can't really be heard by the brain or the ears, so it hears the tonal difference between the two sounds. So if you've got a tone on the left side at 10 hertz or megahertz and one on the right at 20, inside of your mind you hear 15. And what they've found through research is that the brainwave activity tends to mimic the frequency of the tone that you actually can hear and perceive. So what binaural beats do is they start off in the brainwave activity of a conscious waking person, and then they take you down through the various alpha, theta, delta brainwave activity that's synonymous with the hypnotic trance and meditation.
Great.
The technical term for that is brain entrainment. What it basically means is your brain reflects the frequency of vibration, and by vibration I'm talking about electrical impulses here, of the difference in the binaural beats.
Cool. Binaural beats have kind of got a lot of mainstream press lately. I don't know if you've heard that over in New Zealand or not, but there's a lot of like psychedelic kind of websites out there with, I don't know if you heard like iDoser before, using binaural beats, they've actually gotten you like this kind of like high. I think there's like different ones, like marijuana high, or maybe like a cocaine high or something like that. I haven't really looked into it much. I don't really have any need to kind of get any of those highs or anything, but do you think this is possible? And if so, why? How does that work?
Short answer, no. All the binaural beats will do is create a mimicked mental frequency, and the way they measure brainwave frequency or brainwave activity is your neurons are firing all the time, and we've got billions, tens of billions of them in our brain, and all of these are firing off at a slight mega voltage of electricity when they react. And when you measure this intense burst of continuous activity, it's redefined as a frequency. As you go into a trance or a hypnotic state where you start to meditate, your brain tends to synchronize its firing of neurons, and the patterns become more repetitive and, hesitant to say, a beat, but there's increased spikes at certain frequencies. So that's what brainwave activity is in a nutshell. And when you entrain that, you'll create a mental state that's global within the brain, but you won't create any specific situations or experiences. that these people seem to be claiming that you can.
So long story short, it's bullshit.
It's bullshit, yes.
So would you say binaural beats is just more effective when you have that hypnosis in the background then? And that's pretty much its main use?
It is a way of entraining the brain into a certain frequency response. And there aren't that many frequency responses. Our brainwave activity when we're awake and conscious is slightly more chaotic than it is when we're relaxed and daydreaming, and even less chaotic when we're in a deep state of meditation. So the binaural beats in hypnotherapy are used exclusively really just to ensure that a person goes into trance so that we can effectively communicate with the subconscious mind. And they're only used as an ad hoc to the rapport that we mentioned earlier. If a hypnotherapist has a good rapport with a customer or a client, or that client is able to relax, then binaural beats aren't needed at all. They're just an add-on, and I add them in my sessions because you don't have that effectiveness of the rapport that you would have in a one-to-one session. So it's just an added extra to ensure a deeper state of relaxation.
Along those same lines, just for, you know, pure curiosity here, would it be possible then to use like the binaural beats and the hypnosis and actually give somebody that state of mind of being high? Or, you know, some of like the crazier things that like we see in like stage hypnosis, like are those far off reactions possible with hypnosis and binaural beats together or whatever?
Not so much with binaural beats. Under hypnosis, if you've seen a stage show, they incredible the way that they can cause people to change their behavior in an instant. You know, I got my start in Las Vegas on the strip there. Many of my friends were stage hypnotists, and they have the added power of the audience expectation and the audience participation and alcohol. But if you've seen someone given the command to become Elvis when an Elvis tune comes on, and they get up there, shy or not, they get up there and they start gyrating their hips. On some of the more adult stage shows, a wave of the finger can cause a woman to orgasm.
Wow.
And I've had friends that have been up there and they said the orgasm was real. They weren't faking it. They literally came on the chair, on the stage. So we're using the power of the mind to enhance our reality. Now, if you have ever been stoned before, your unconscious, your brain has a representation of what it was like to be stoned, and you can use hypnosis and the suggestible state to re-trigger that emotional experience.
Very fascinating.
It is, and you know, more specific to your audience, shyness, for example, is what's called a domain-specific modality. That means that you only experience it during certain times and situations. You are not shy when you're half intoxicated with your buddies from university or work. You're not shy around your brothers and sisters. You may have an incredibly hot cousin that you can talk to with ease. But when you get into that domain of social pressure, where there's an expectation of performance or a fear of what they're going to be thinking of you, that's when this mental state we call shyness starts to kick in. So where hypnosis is incredibly powerful in that situation is we can take those times where you aren't shy, when you're incredibly confident. We can reinforce your confidence and your ability to write a sentence or walk or skip or dance, and we can transfer that mental state or that feeling of confidence into the other domains. For example, talking to women or doing a job interview, whatever it may be, that actual physical memory or quality of being confident, of not being shy, can be transported into different domains of your life. And that's where hypnosis or any form of subconscious modality is incredibly powerful.
That's such a powerful tool, wouldn't you say, Andrew? Like being able to just completely get over that shyness that like so many guys have. It's like such a major restriction in like their dating life and meeting women. If only they could just be like confident when they go out in social situations and talk to women. And using tools like hypnosis is such a great way to really get over that. And I know personally that I've used that confidence boost hypnosis sessions before, or get over social anxiety. I've used things like that, and it really has helped me. And like you said, it's such a powerful thing to really get a hold of.
It is powerful. No, it's when you understand a little bit about how your brain works, not so much at the neurological level, but let's run through some of the ways that your listeners can use the power of their thinking with or without hypnosis to change who they are. One of the things your subconscious mind does is it listens to the questions that you ask yourself. And we're talking to ourselves, asking questions, and questions are things like, why am I so shy? Why don't I have a girlfriend? Two, do I need to go to the bathroom now, or can I wait 5 minutes? We have 60,000 of these a day. Now, if you work that out, that's 3 a second. These come in the form of words, images, feelings. And what your subconscious mind, what your brain is programmed to do, is to answer those questions. 95% of the time, we're giving ourselves shit. Why am I ugly? Why am I shy? Why am I not attractive to women? What are they thinking about? Are they judging me? So we will ask ourselves these questions. And here's the interesting thing. I challenge any of your listeners at the end of the day to consciously remember 10 of the 60,000 thoughts they had in the day. Now, we make decisions and ask ourselves questions all the time. Do I go to the bathroom now? When do I start cleaning my teeth? When do I stop cleaning my teeth? Should I use the stairs or the elevator? Should I go to the gym now? What exercise should I do next? We are asking ourselves questions constantly, but we're not paying any attention to what we're asking ourselves. Now, what your brain or unconscious mind will do is draw your focus of awareness to answer those questions. So if you're asking yourself, why don't I have a girlfriend? Why am I shy? You will, in exactly the same way as you ever buy a new pair of clothes, new pair of shoes, or a new car, all of a sudden you see it everywhere. Your focus and awareness is drawn to this thing that is similar or drawn to whatever you're thinking about. So your unconscious mind will draw your attention to experiences, to snippets of information, to interpreting a look on a woman's face that will reinforce and answer the question you are asking it. It doesn't care what the question is. It can be, why am I shy and a loser? Why don't I have confidence or woman? Or the question can be, how can I get laid tonight? How can I increase my level of happiness? What can I do to boost my level of confidence? Your subconscious mind doesn't judge you. It just creates the focus of awareness and answers for you for those specific questions. So if your listeners have issues, the reason is very simple. It's because they're asking themselves the wrong questions. And one of the ways you can address that is to use affirmations. You know, we've all heard of affirmations. They work, they take time, but it's a way of training your brain to ask the right questions. Another way is what's called mindful awareness, where you actually start to pay attention to the thoughts that you're having the day. I challenge anyone to try and remember 10 of the thoughts. How many times did you go to the bathroom? What was the thought that you had before you decided to go? When did you decide to get dressed? Why is it you decided to wear those particular jeans? Can you remember? And what hypnosis does, and what other forms of subconscious modalities like neurolinguistic programming, is that increases the effectiveness of those affirmations or those questions that you ask yourself in the highly suggestible state of hypnotic trance.
All right, guys, I think it's the perfect time to take a quick break from the episode to remind you to subscribe to our show. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting episodes. Subscribe now and get all of the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. Okay, guys, back to the episode now.
Andrew, you mentioned NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. What's your experience with this, and how effective can it be in shaping someone's behaviors?
It can be incredibly effective. It is incredibly effective. The only issue really that I have with, well, I don't have any issues with hypnosis or with neuro-linguistic programming. What I do have an issue is the scientific research suggests that it doesn't work. And what usually happens, and what's happened in America and Europe, they're a little bit better. In Europe, when they do a study on hypnotherapy or neurolinguistic programming, they'll get a therapist. In the States, when they first started examining hypnosis, they would use a psychologist and a tape recorder. And they would put a tape recorder in a room full of students and suggest that their hand was getting as light as air and that it would rise up. And from those early studies, they found that a certain amount of people can be hypnotized. And it's the same with NLP. The theory came out, therapists started using it, including myself, getting phenomenal results. And then psychologists would examine it and say, it doesn't work, because they didn't understand the precepts and the concepts, and it got a bad rap.
Interesting. Can you talk briefly about language patterns in NLP? It's a very interesting concept. I think might help some of our listeners.
What sort of things are you talking about?
Just like the possible uses of language patterns, say with a guy maybe approaching a woman, and or even like messaging a woman. Like, what kinds of things can he use from language patterns to help him his success rate, I guess you would say?
Okay, so we're talking about the use of NLP in PUA.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm not a pickup artist specialist, so I would have to think a little bit here about how to apply the general therapeutical knowledge to PUA. I am interested in PUA. When I first got into it, I was blown away by the effectiveness of the language patterns that they use, and it is NLP based.
Yeah.
Your listeners probably know more about language patterns and banter patterning and storytelling than I do, specifically with regards to picking up women. But what it's doing is, as you're telling the story using the words, in order to understand and comprehend the words, create a picture or an image or a comprehension in your mind. And I'm assuming with the PUA structure of the words, what is it, the blowjob pattern I used to be familiar with, or you say it's a nice guy, isn't it? When you're pointing to the sky, you're using mispronunciation of words that are similar sounding to get your meaning across at an unconscious level, while at the same time able to say, I didn't say that. I said it was a beautiful day. Look at the sky. Whereas you're really saying things like, it's a nice guy, isn't it? I am a nice guy. You're implanting thought in her head.
Yes. So in that sense, I mean, I've never been huge on language patterns myself personally in the whole PUA thing, but I know it can be effective. I know there's guys like if you heard of him, Ross Jeffries, but he's like a main player in the pickup artist community, and he uses a lot of language patterns. So in a way, I guess would you say that it can be very effective when you do frame conversations around language patterns like that?
Oh, yes. Ross Jeffries was incredibly effective in his use and manipulation of words and language patterns. It's my understanding that the PUA movement has moved on from attempting to manipulate people now via methods like that to becoming more of the alpha male, to becoming the type of quality person that is attractive to a woman. So I'm not sure if in that world people are still using the language pattern methods or not.
Yeah.
You would be better, Justin, to answer that one for me.
I mean, like I said, I don't personally use it much, and myself personally have kind of evolved away from the whole pickup artist thing, kind of branded myself that way. I'm more of dating coach, teaching my students about being like having an honest game and being honest with women, and not necessarily like the manipulation part of it. But I just want to know its effectiveness, and like you said, it can be very effective. So it's always interesting.
Yeah, it is incredibly effective, because NLP is, a lot of NLP is hypnosis. It was developed studying a hypnotherapist, a family therapist, and the gestalt therapist. And what they discovered was, hypnotists said, well, this is what I do and it works this way. Virginia Satir, the family therapist, said, well, this is what I do and it works this way. And the gestalt therapist, Fritz Perls, he said, no, this is what I do and it works this way. And what the discoverers of NLP found is the language patterns they used got the results, not the particular philosophy or explanation of how they thought their therapy worked. And so the NLP was started on the use of language patterns and pattern recognition within the brain, and certain what we call schemas or mental representations associated with certain words. words. And so you're using that language, those patterns and those previous representations to achieve a result that you want.
Is it almost like hypnosis in a way that you're kind of like bypassing the conscious mind when you do use those language patterns and kind of like...
It is hypnosis. NLP language patterning is essentially hypnosis without a formal trance induction. And most hypnotherapists nowadays are using NLP as their main training mechanism for communicating the suggestions that they want to give a client. So yes, NLP and hypnosis, they're different sides of the same orange.
I know guys like Milton Erickson use like rapid hypnosis and rapid induction techniques, and I think like NLP was like a big part of that as well. Are you familiar with him at all?
And Milton Erickson, yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's a staple in the hypnosis community. Do you have any other, or do you have any, I should say, influencers when you were younger, like guys, hypnotists or even mentalists that you kind of looked up to and you know, wanted to kind of emulate?
When I was younger, I was shy and awkward. I really only got into the hypnosis as a new age therapy modality when I saw the results. And then I took it more seriously when, during our training, a woman with a stroke who had paralysis had a mental block that stopped her progression. And within 30 minutes, she was able to move her limbs that, you know, 6 to 12 months of physiotherapy wasn't able to fix. And that's when I thought that, well, I've got to use this modality. I did it for a couple of years, and this is 20 years ago I started, and then I became a psychologist. So most of my heroes now are people that work in the psychology field. There's a hypnotherapist called David Yalop, I think, and people like Elizabeth Loftus, who deals with false memories.
False memories is, and kind of brings up a point. I was going to actually bring this up. Is that meaning like police witness things or like regression or past life regression kind of false memory things, or is that something else?
It's her work was instrumental in that. She did a very famous study where she took 30 or 40 students and they all filled out questionnaires. And one of the questions in particular was, were you ever lost in a shopping mall? And she verified with the parents that never had that experience. The students came in, they were read three stories. One of them was being lost in a shopping mall. A month later, they came in, they were given a questionnaire, and they were read three stories. 20% of the students, I think, I'm making this up, but it was a phenomenal high amount, now had a memory of them being lost in the shopping mall when they were a child. During the second series, there was a story where a child was lost in a shopping mall and helped by a policeman. The next month, they came back. 45% of the students had a genuine memory of being lost in a shopping mall and helped by a policeman. So Elizabeth Loftus' studies were particularly important. A little while ago, there was all the rage of demonic sexual abuse sweeping across America, New Zealand, Australia, and lots of people were prosecuted and sent to prison based on repressed memories that were brought up by therapists. And it's since been found that these therapists were creating these false memories and people were innocently being put into prison. Memories are very fickle. As I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the interview, they are encoded. Anything that happens in reality is encoded based on our previous expectations and our beliefs. And as they're encoded, they're fragmented. When they are recalled, they're reconstructed. And each and every time you actually remember something, you're changing the actual memory itself. And what Elizabeth Loftus has done has shown beyond any doubt that memories are incredibly unreliable. And I love that because in my therapy, I create false memories. If I can create false memories in a client that they have been confident their whole life, or that they have never been shy, it doesn't matter to me that those memories are fake. What matters to me is the results that they get from it. And it works in the reverse order. If you have memories of a traumatic experience, whether or not it actually happened doesn't matter. The way you react in the today, in the present moment, is the consequence of those memories. And whether they're real or not, people just don't even bother considering. If they feel them strongly, they believe they must be real. And this emotional intelligence, this ability to put faith in something that we strongly feel, is one of the biggest problems and one of the best remedies for a lot of the issues that we have as human beings.
Yeah, that's great that you can change. I guess that's great as a hypnotherapist that you can change someone's memories of the past, or like you said, something traumatic that may have happened, and you can actually reshape them and create, although false memories, productive and more beneficial memories for them. So that's awesome.
Right, right.
Andrew, how long would you say it typically takes for someone to, I know there's all kinds of different problems or issues that someone might try to overcome, but generally, I mean, very generally here, like how long would it take for someone to really see the benefits of hypnosis working for them?
Well, if you're in Las Vegas and you hit up on a stage, within 5 minutes, it really can work that quickly. Everybody is different. There's it's a lot to do with the trust level. It's a lot to do with the level of trust that you have to allow yourself to be influenced by someone else. It took me 2 weeks before I went into a hypnotic trance. I remember going to a stage show and looking at the guy and thinking, you're not going to hypnotize me. And I was right. He didn't hypnotize me. So it's a trust and rapport and an ability to trust in yourself to let go a little bit. And when you let go a little bit, you gain massive amount of ability to actually change who you are. But to answer your question more specifically, I will tell people in the case of the hypnotherapy MP3s that I sell, if you listen to it three or four times the first week, three or four times the second week, two or three times the third week, and then once a week for about a month and a half after the results that you've gotten, you will find that you get results in a week. They'll be dependent and individualized on the person. But when I used to conduct therapy, my promise was if I don't fix you in three sessions, you don't have to pay for any more. It really does work that quickly.
Wow, that's a pretty good guarantee.
Yeah, I think in 5 years back in New Zealand, I had one person who came back.
Wow, that's incredible. Is everybody in that sense then hypnotizable under the right circumstances?
Everybody hypnotizes themselves several times a day. We're all totally familiar with the hypnotic trance. All hypnosis is a combination of different psychological processes that, I don't want to use the word manipulate, that encourages certain mental states that lead to increased ability to learn.
Great.
So yes, everybody is susceptible to hypnosis. This is the term the psychologists use, forgive me for saying it, because it sounds like it's control and manipulation. But everybody can be hypnotized because we're hypnotizing ourselves 10 to 50 times a day.
Andrew, what, if any, is the best time of day to actually use hypnosis or go to a hypnotist to be hypnotized?
Actually, that's a great question because it brings up a myth about hypnosis I find is pretty prevalent. Any time during the day is fine. You cannot learn, you cannot hear, and you cannot change when you're asleep. So a lot of people will put the hypnosis session on before they go to bed and fall asleep in the middle of it. It's not going to be effective. The research is clear that when you're asleep, your brain is asleep. It's not learning or processing anything new. It's dreaming. It's getting rid of the crap that you don't need to remember. It's processing into long-term memories of things that you do need to remember. Anytime when you're not so exhausted that you'll fall asleep.
In regards to sleep or insomnia, hypnosis, MP3s, or even in-person sessions, what would you say about that? Would sleeping in that sense, if you fall asleep during the session, is not beneficial, obviously, but would it be training the mind then for future times of sleep, like if you have trouble sleeping?
Well, you would. It's interesting because I do have an insomnia to sleep session, and I freely encourage people to listen to that as they go to bed. And it's a combination of the binaural beats to get the brainwave activity into a reflective of a sleep state, and then to use that to change the unconscious associations of the bedroom. A lot of people don't sleep in their bedroom. They work in the bedroom. They have sex in the bedroom. They watch TV in the bedroom. They work, read, they relax. The bedroom and the bed has become not just a place to sleep. But no, in my insomnia sleep session, fully encourage people to actually get to sleep. And if you stay awake and listen to the whole lot, then it reprograms you for the next time and the next time and the next time.
Great. Touching back on past life regression really quick, because I think this is such an interesting topic. And I don't know, I've just always been fascinated with it. Do you actually do past life regressions at all?
Yes, I do. For entertainment purposes only now.
Okay. Do you know of anyone like therapeutically who have done this before? If you.
Oh, I do it therapeutically all the time.
Okay.
But when I first began, I would do the past lives, and I would believe the past lives were real because of the intensity of the imagined experience that the customer had. But as I learned that memories are fickle, they're fickle from this morning, they're even worse from last week. If previous lives actually exist, I should imagine that the memories are so distorted and distracted and detached that they wouldn't be anywhere near as valid as the incredibly invalid memories that we have in our current life. But from a therapy point of view, the subconscious can manifest a scenario that explains the origins of a particular phobia or fear or inadequacy within someone. And again, from my perspective, I will manipulate and create false memories around that association in a heightened suggestible state, and we are the result of the meaning that we give to our memories. So if the unconscious presents a past life scenario that explains the inadequacy someone has that makes them shy or lacking confidence or depressed, then we can use that to change the memories, change the structure and the response. I'll give you an example. One of my customers, she was actually a psychologist, and she always felt like she could never get ahead in life. And during her past life experience, she was a woodcutter in the forest, and her cabin was raided by the king's tax collectors. And she was physically held down as they rummaged through her property and destroyed her meager amount of possessions, and she couldn't do anything. She was overpowered. So during that session, I asked her point blank, is this the reason you feel unempowered in your current life? To which she replied, yes. That gave her subconscious a modality to work from. And I said, well, you're in the forest. What forest would that be? Hoping that she would say Sherwood Forest, because that is a common story in Europe, and maybe not so much in America, but definitely New Zealand, Australia. We've all heard of Robin Hood. So during the session, we had Robin Hood come along. And because it was a hypnosis session, I could use language patterns to give her suggestions in the form of questions that she felt that she came up with the answers. Long story short, Robin Friar Tuck came along. She actually grew in stature to twice her size and literally picked up these people that were holding her down, these symbolic representations of why she couldn't accomplish anything, and threw them out of the house. And through that feeling of strength and power and literal bigger than life mental size and feeling, we brought those feelings again in this domain specific area. We brought them back to her current state as she was sitting in the chair, and then had them spread out throughout the entire realm of her daily life and activity, through every domain: her work, her social life, her business, her love life, her financial situation. We had these feelings that she brought back with her of this immense strength and power, feeling literally 10 times larger, 10 times more capable than it was physically possible within the body that she had. Spread those feelings out to every domain of her life. She came out of the trance and she goes, wow, you know, that doesn't happen for me anymore. So we would test it. We'd say, can you remember a time when you felt held back and unable to accomplish something? She literally had wiped the memories that she told me about half an hour before the experience. Wow. from her ability to recall. We have very powerful minds, and when you use the mind in the right way, when you ask the right questions, when you focus on what it is that you want rather than asking yourself why you are the way you are that makes you unhappy, you can make some real changes in your life.
Great. That's such an awesome story too, Andrew. It's been such an awesome interview so far. We've got a lot of topics covered, a lot of great advice. Just a few more questions, and then we got to unfortunately wrap it up.
Sure.
What is your number one tip for shy guys? And you being the behavioral modification specialist that you are, expert hypnotherapist, this could be anything really. If you want to talk about some confidence things or, you know, some tips to change the mind and some of the behaviors that shy guys have. But actually, really really anything you want to talk about, Andrew, if you want to just give a guy's listeners a tip?
That's a great question, and it's one of the things that I've frequently heard in other people's interviews with dating gurus, with PUA experts. They'll all use these words like charisma and confidence and power and strength and in a game, but they're just words. They never actually say, well, this is how you accomplish it. So I'm going to tell your listeners how they can accomplish this.
Perfect.
Really is very simple. Your thoughts create your mental state. Your mental state creates your behavior. Now, that's it in a nutshell. There's a lot of complicated issues and processes that happen in that, but no one listens to the questions they ask themselves. We tend to ignore the questions, ignore our self-talk, and concentrate on the feeling that is the consequence. So when you are feeling a lack of confidence, when you are feeling shy, you tend to focus on that feeling of shyness, and through that feeling, you start asking yourself negative questions. Why am I feeling like this? What is she thinking about me? Maybe I should approach. I know I'm supposed to, but I'm terrified. What would happen if? So it's our mental questions that we ask ourselves, our thoughts that create our mental state. The consistent experience of the mental state creates our physical, mental, emotional response to any stimulus or situation that happens in the outside world. And no one pays attention to their thoughts. Start listening to what you tell yourself. Start giving yourself affirmations. Now, one of the biggest problems people have is, but I'm bullshitting. I'm lying to myself. I am not a confident, strong person. How can I stand in front of a mirror and look at myself and say, I am confident. I am the life of the party. I am supremely charismatic. Women love me. I am interesting when I know that I'm not. Here's the thing. Who gives a shit? You are who you think you are. And at the moment, you've spent years thinking that you are the way you are. You've made justifications. Your subconscious mind has drawn your attention to experiences that reinforce the questions. Yes, acknowledge freely that when you give yourself affirmations, you are bullshitting yourself. You are brainwashing yourself. You are giving yourself false statements that don't feel correct, but they will. They will begin to over a period of time, and it won't take too long at all. You will find that you actually begin to experience the reality of the affirmation that you give yourself. One of the things that I like to do, like to tell myself, is how can I find, or what can I find today to make me smile? Now, I'm currently living in Thailand, and the weather is fantastic, but there's a lot of poverty here. But sometimes the smile on a child monk's face can just beam me up. Other questions you ask yourself is, how can I find a way to get more confidence? What can I do today to increase my social charisma? When you ask yourself questions like this, your subconscious mind will draw your focus of awareness to situations that will provide the answer. Stop beating yourself up. Stop being your biggest critic. It's fine to be realistic and say, okay, I am shy. I don't have the confidence that I want. Now start bullshitting yourself into believing that you do. Because society, yourself, your friends, your school experience have spent years bullshitting you into believing that you're shy or that you lack confidence. Perfect. Think it. Then experience it, and then it will become your reality.
Oh, perfect advice, Andrew. It's basically like, actually, I think I read this once in a hypnosis book that I was reading. It's like you basically project yourself as being an actor and playing a role, and it's like being a confident actor, and then it's like you're pretending to be someone, this confident actor, but the more you pretend it and the more you actually act it out and play this role, the more you find yourself actually having like this real confidence and this real charisma.
It becomes more familiar, it becomes more automatic, it becomes less fake, it becomes your normal natural response. From a practical point of view, and I think you've mentioned it in your past interviews, doing acting lessons where you are taught the specific skills of projecting your voice and using your imagination to create a different character. Because we are, you know, we are. I mentioned that when I first started my journey, it was to find myself, my spiritual quest, to become at one with the universe and discover who I truly was. I wanted to be the Christ-like figure that was always calm and comfortable and relaxed. And I spent a lot of time meditating and developing this calm exterior. And I went to a football game, and everybody around me was jumping up and down and acting like hooligans. and enjoying themselves, and I'm sitting there calm and relaxed thinking, this is a football game. It's not really that entertaining. And it suddenly dawned on me that we are actors. We play different roles all the time. You play a different role when you are comfortable and confident at a bar. You play a role when you're shy and awkward in a bar. You play a different role in front of your friends that you do in front of your grandparents, that you do in front of your church and your pastor. Our whole lives, we are not one person. We're a series of roles, and we act in the situation as it sees fit. So the more you create the ability to act the way you want to be more often, it becomes more of your reality.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever heard of the or saw the interview. Actually, the great Marlon Brando actually said it once. I think it was Larry King that asked him about his acting career and everything. And he just kind of brought it up saying like that everyone around you is actors. I'm acting right now. You're acting right now. Everybody acts no matter if they think they're acting or not. So why not just act in the way that you want to be, you know, and make that your reality. So that's great.
Brilliant advice. The way you can do that is by controlling what you think. Granted, it's difficult. You start off by monitoring what you think and telling yourself positive affirmations. You freely acknowledge that those affirmations are bullshit. They don't reflect your reality. But you are positively programming your unconscious to respond in a way that you want, not the way it is now. And that will, over time, become more and more familiar, more and more natural. Yeah, play the roles, act the roles, reinforce it with affirmations, watch how you think. Pretty soon your attitudes become more confident. You go out and experience more. It's one thing to do it in the mind, but when you actually go out and experience the reality and get that confidence, confidence is just this feeling of knowing that we can accomplish something. When you lack confidence, you don't believe that you can accomplish. There's doubt. We're all confident that we can write our names, that we can sign a document, that we can walk, that we can get out of bed in the morning. It's exactly the same feeling within that domain that you can create and move and expand into other areas of your life.
Andrew, is there any last takeaway message you have for our listeners or even a place that you want to send them off with to get more information about your hypnosis programs and such?
Well, my website is mindfithypnosis.com. Everything that's on there is, it works and it's validated. And oddly enough, people don't like to leave reviews for hypnosis sessions because it notifies the world of them requiring help. So ignore the fact that I've been doing this for 10 years online. I've had hundreds of thousands of sales, and there are not that many reviews on the website. It works. What I've done and I've always done, I have never been super wealthy. I have always found that the self-help movement wants too much money. My sessions are $12.95. They're incredibly reasonable. I know that they work. Justin, you've experienced them.
Yep.
That's where you can go to find me. There's loads of articles there. There's a couple of articles that perhaps people would be interested in looking at. One is Couples Communication, which examines the values and hierarchies of our boundaries and the way we communicate with each other. It will give you an understanding of yourself and your partner if you have a partner. It will also, if you're looking at it from a PUA perspective, allow you to start asking some questions that will really make a lady think and make you seem interesting.
Guys, please check that out. I mean, I can vouch for Andrew's program's effectiveness so highly. I can give him such a great review because firsthand I've learned from him on how effective hypnosis can really be. I mean, anything from confidence to anxiety to charisma issues, pretty much anything you can think of, Andrew has got on his site. Again, it's mindfithypnosis.com. Please check it out when you get a chance. Andrew, thanks so much for coming on our show today. It was absolute pleasure to have you on. I know our listeners are really going to enjoy these great insights and advice from you. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Great, Justin. It was a fantastic way to spend the afternoon here in Thailand.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man Podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.